We lost. Lost everything. There's nothing left for us here.
I need a weapon.
Weapon? This is all I've got.
It's enough.
We're stuck out here. You have one bullet against an entire army. What can you do on your own?
I told you. It's enough.
Hey, welcome to Razzle Dazzle, a podcast about video games and pop culture with an emphasis on our favorites.
All right, it's Razzle Dazzle time. We're your hosts, Jared and Patrick.
What's up?
That's our sound guy, Joe.
Don't make a girl a promise if you know you can't keep it.
Joe, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about my favorite game series, which we already talked about years ago. However, a lot has changed since episode 34. We're talking about Halo, specifically under the lens of Halo Infinite. This game changed
episode
the landscape.
Episode 14.
Episode 14? I was 20 off? And, I was 20 off. 20 weeks? What's 20 weeks?
Babies.
We were still babies.
God, I'm sure it's so rough to listen to now.
I bet. And that's why I wanted to talk about the same series again.
We recorded it, like, during the pandemic while remote. We were trying to figure that out.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my good goddamn. But multiple times throughout Deltas and stuff, I've talked about how I'm playing Halo Infinite while not really getting too deep into the nitty-gritty of what makes this game special. I'm hesitant to use the word great. Special or unique is a word I would use.
Okay, as long as it's special
I'd
to
like
you.
That.
It is special to me, especially knowing the terrible and rocky road of development it's had. Mm-hmm. I got notes. Mm-hmm. I got paper ASMR. You ready? But from when it was revealed in 2018 to its rough release in 2021, there is just a lot of lore there. So I'm going to go ahead and start for this game in 2017.
Okay.
Halo Wars 2 just came out, and that is a RTS game. Not a shooter. It's a real-time strategy spin-off game. However, in this game, 343 introduced an enemy faction that fans actually super loved. That would be the Banished.
Okay.
The Banished are brutes. Essentially just the Covenant, just run by brutes, but with a cool red repaint job. It's familiar, yet foreign enough that the fans loved it. Mm-hmm. The fans did not love the Forerunner, like, robot armies from 4 and 5, but they loved the Banished. And, especially after Halo 5's story reception was caca de la pupa, the Banished were going to be the big bad of the universe, or at least the next few games. 2018, Halo Infinite's first reveal came out. I don't know if you guys remember this, but it is just shots of, like, outside. The trailer actually kind of looks like, for lack of a better comparison, like a Far Cry game.
Yep.
Because it's, like, wilderness, and there's also some, like, Forerunner Halo classic architecture in the background.
I just remember, because I believe at some point during that they show like a Halo ring, because I was watching with a friend and he goes, "It's the thing!"
It's the Halo! Yeah, that's very accurate. From 2018 to 2020, very little like was actually revealed. There are plenty of like lore, development secrets coming out. Not good things, but you know, we'll get to it. Until E3 2020. Do you guys remember that reveal?
Barely.
Yeah, it was the first gameplay revealed. The graphics were not up to par for an apparent next generation.
Oh,
launch.
I remember everyone dunking on it.
You remember Craig? You remember Craig the Brute?
Yes, Craig the Brute.
See, that reveal has a mixed reception because the gameplay from that reveal mostly stayed the same to the final product. And a lot of people loved it. A lot of people loved the redesigns, the classic redesigns of like elites and grunts and all that. But the graphics weren't as good. Mm. And this was supposed to be a launch title for the Series X. And Microsoft, shockingly, rather than releasing a half not up to par game, actually sat on it and fixed its bad graphics until 2021. We got a firm release date, December of 2021, but they surprised us. On November 15th, Halo's 20-year anniversary, they dropped the multiplayer, and it was free to play. Huge hype around this. Everybody was happy in late 2021. The hype was huge with 20 million players, Halo's biggest ever launch, and streamers like Dr. Disrespect and Moist Critical played it a ton when it first came out. It demolished Call of Duty Vanguard and Battlefield 2042 without any competition. You guys remember that?
Nope.
Good, because those games were not memorable at all.
Nope.
In fact,
I remember the fact that they're not memorable.
Yeah. Yep. But when that game came out, huge question was answered. Who was this game for? Was it for the classic Halo fans, or was it for 343 Industries' newer fans, the people that loved 4 and 5?
Okay.
There were a significant number of people that loved 4 and 5, myself included, but this game, from its marketing as being a return to form for Halo, most of the people that were hyped were the classic fans, which I would say outnumber by a factor of like 3 to 4. And they tried their best to get the best of both worlds. And the classic art style is back. They added Sprint, which not a lot of people loved, but it was nerfed.
It's great.
You are a newer fan. You see, you fit in the category of the newer fans.
Now, you can't just determine that just because I like running in a video game, in a shooter.
In Halo? People stopped playing Reach because of the Sprint.
Ever since I first started playing Halo 1, I was like, why can't I run? Why is everything so slow?
Because you are used to modern shooters.
Yeah.
And that's just your style. So games like Halo 4 and 5 with enhanced mobility really, you know, stood out to you. Am I wrong?
I liked playing it.
Did you like playing? Would you say you liked playing it more or less than the classic games, 2, 3, and
just based ODST? On movement, I can't give you an answer.
Okay.
Because that's not fair to the other games.
I can throw in a little answer because I, growing up, always big Counter-Strike fan, mentioned a lot on the podcast. Counter-Strike has no sprint. You can't sprint. When I played Halo, the classic ones where you couldn't sprint, I still felt so slow. It didn't ruin the experience, but it was very hard to deal with. I think it's just more the map size than the actual sprint function for me.
Yeah, but each level is just huge to get from one end to the other.
Like, I didn't mind not being able to sprint. It was more the fact that I had to slowly walk so far to, like, get some action.
In Halo Infinite, I don't know if you noticed this, but sprinting is not that much faster than walking. Like, they did a side-by-side comparison, and sprinting is only, like, 0.5 seconds faster than walking.
Right.
Which I think is a perfect balance of having it as an option, whereas not something you have to rely on if you want to get out of a sticky situation. They used armor abilities more sparingly. Remember, in Halo 5, you have a jetpack strapped to your back at all times.
Yeah.
Whereas in Halo Infinite, you can pick them up throughout the map. Same as the repulsor, the fan-favorite grappling hook.
I love the grappling hook. I'm a huge Titanfall fan, so when I saw the grappling hook in Halo, that is what made me play it.
Almost any game can be improved by adding a hookshot.
What do you think inspired that? Was it Titanfall or Spider-Man? I think it plays a lot like Spider-Man, but it was inspired mostly by Titanfall.
It definitely, like, works similarly to the Titanfall one. I don't want to say that, like, 100%. Infinite doesn't have the same craziness as Titanfall does, but it still feels very similar to Titanfall.
Yeah, I would say with any game that has a hookshot type thing, it inspired from Zelda for one reason or another. I'm not saying, like, Zelda's the reason Halo Infinite has the hookshot for Master Chief. No, I'm just saying, like, from games after Ocarina of Time that implemented a hookshot type thing in multiple different ways, it somehow evolved into getting into Halo Infinite and Titanfall and all that good jazz. It's great. It's a great addition.
I don't know how into I want to get to the side tangent, but I'm not 100% on that one.
I'm just saying, because the hookshot changed the way 3D gaming is, thanks to Ocarina of Time in the first place. So, you know, it's just a grandfather thing. I'm not saying it's a direct correlation. I'm just saying it's a grandfather effect. Like, you know, this is probably where it first originated in terms of the idea of, like, a hookshot type of thing in any video game now. But if we want to go more recent, I think Titanfall, since a major aspect of Titanfall is, like, movement, is, you know, running up walls, jumping, parkour, that I would say has, like, the most influence to Halo Infinite.
Halo has always followed gaming trends.
Yeah.
Like, with their bleak period, where you want to make a depressing story, they came out with Halo Reach. And if you want to make a sad story with emotional beats, Halo 4. And if you want to make big, bad, like, badass Infinity War style huge ass battles.
Yeah.
You got Halo 5 Guardians.
Yeah.
Which didn't roll off very well with the community. And I thought the story of Halo Infinite did the best that it could.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was around late 2021, early 2022 is when we enter the dark period of this game.
Okay.
2022 was the worst year for Halo in a very long time. Because that was
when I started playing.
You were probably one of the 20 million that hopped on as soon as the multiplayer dropped suddenly and free to play.
No, I waited till the full release.
Okay, that's awesome that you say that because it's an interesting distinction. The early release, November 15th through December 8th, was the beta, quote-unquote beta. And once the full game released, there was no difference. Hardly any difference between the two.
That's something I noticed because I like watched my friends talking about it. That's what kind of got me curious. And then I'm like, I don't want to play the beta. I'm not really that much of a Halo fan. I'm gonna wait till the full release. Then I get all the content. And then the full release.
Oh, buddy.
And it was just the same exact thing. I saw a bunch of videos and like my friends talking about. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
There wasn't even that many cosmetics. I'm a Team Fortress 2 guy. I love cosmetics. I will throw money at a game for some cosmetics.
You love. But that was when they realized there wasn't enough content in Season 1 and not enough in Season 2 that followed. Like, the biggest problems were the cosmetic store. Like, everything was overpriced.
I think that
problem still stays a little bit, but I think it was definitely worse in 2022. There were no game modes that were from Classic. There wasn't King of the Hill, and there wasn't Infection. People love their Infection. Or Forge. Or, how can I miss this? There wasn't co-op at launch. That is unacceptable
for
Halo. No co-op.
Like,
you can't
co-op campaign?
Yeah, there were no co-op campaign. That's always been a staple of Halo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Halo was always meant to be, like, Halo single player was always meant to be a split screen game.
Yep. There's no split screen. There's no split screen. It's just co-op online.
That's just...
It wasn't also in Halo 5, for that matter.
Patrick, that's an interesting thing to say because as the Master Chief, it's just you against an army, right? But saying that Halo is meant to be played with somebody else on the couch, that's like true. In a real world sense, yes, that's true, but not until Halo 2 where we get the Arbiter. In world sense, that's like, no, it's the Master Chief against everything. Halo the Arbiter? 3.
Well, you get to play as the Arbiter, but they don't. The Master Chief and the Arbiter only meet once in the game.
Yeah.
In Halo 2. In Halo 3, you player 1 is Chief, player 2 is Arbiter.
Oh,
that was when
two.
They... Yeah, no. They kind of blend this together. But, that was when... That was peak co-op season.
Yes.
You know, all of your characters look differently. And somewhere along the lines between, I'd say, like, 4 and 5... That was, like, lost. Because in 4, you just play as a Master Chief clone.
Mm-hmm.
Fair. I guess, you know, don't want to make a separate model. But you can't tell each other apart, you and your three other buddies that are playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And Halo 5, it just wasn't in at all. It was all online. And that pissed off a lot of people. Seeing that it also wasn't in Infinite at launch pissed off a lot of people as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a new experience. It's an open world game. And exploring that with friends would be awesome, right?
Do you think it's weird that Halo just like, I'm sorry, 343 released Halo Infinite bit after bit? So multiplayer first, then here's the campaign, then here's campaign co-op. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Do I think it's weird? No, I don't think it's weird.
Okay.
I think it hurt it,
yeah.
Definitely. I think that it should have released in a more complete state. But knowing how multiplayer and live service games are, I don't think it's that, like, far-fetched.
Right.
It makes sense, but I wish it wasn't like that.
But did you feel okay paying full price to begin with? Like, I know the multiplayer is free, but I'm saying when the campaign came out, did you feel good about paying full price without getting the full game? You know
I
what
actually
I mean?
Mentioned it in, like, the December 21 episode.
Okay.
December 21 Delta, where I said, I love this game. I love playing the single player. I'm not sure if it's worth $70.
Okay.
And I think I still stand by that.
Was it 70?
I'm pretty sure.
Damn.
I don't know. I was grandfathered into Halo at that point, so I would have bought anything. I'm not going to lie to you.
I will say this follows a lot of the trend that we talked about with our game design episode, or like our latest one, where like games that are releasing right now keep this sort of like live service update model because it is the most profitable way to make games, especially with these like multiplayer free-to-play styles of it. I do find it 343's approach interesting with like the $70 campaign but the free multiplayer, because I think that does kind of like bring people in. If you really like the multiplayer, then you might try the campaign,
right?
But like, it, to answer your question as well, do I find it weird from them? No, because this is just the standard now. It's weird if somebody doesn't do a live service update style.
True. For a multiplayer game, like, as much as we hate to say it, Fortnite had an incredible effect on video games as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
It changed everything, how much Fortnite blew up.
And this was like a model before Fortnite, but Fortnite and PUBG were the ones who that really like
popped
showed
off
the value of this sort of system.
Mm-hmm.
And Rockstar's games, GTA Online and Red Dead Online.
I think a more apt comparison would be PUBG or Fortnite, because they're necessarily shooters, whereas GTA is like a drive.
Yeah. Oh, of course. But like in terms of like when the industry followed this trend, GTA was like the big sort of like, you started seeing the slow shift.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fortnite was like the big like, oh shit, everybody, we need to do this.
All right. Where was I? We're still in 2022 on my little timeline here. 2022,
yes,
worst year for Halo. Why do I say this? I say this because that was when all of the flaws of the game became readily apparent to the players. Not just people in the know behind the scenes at Microsoft /343. It became apparent to people playing the game. There wasn't enough content. There were only 10 maps at launch. Halo 2, that came out in 2004, had 12. I think that's extremely silly. And the original promise was that multiplayer seasons would only be 3 months. Reality, season 1 and 2, 6 months long. 6 months of getting no new cosmetics, because that's just what the Battle Pass was. You unlock cosmetics and stuff, and starting in season 3, credits, so you can buy more at the store.
We're like on season 5 or 6 now, I think.
We are on season 5 as of recording.
Yeah.
But it was in 2022 when desync and the bad UI of the game became readily apparent and caused a massive player drop. Like, by a factor of like 90%, if I recall correctly.
I dropped the game at this point, but
yeah, you're one
it
of
wasn't
the 90.
For desync. It was for the lack of things to do.
Fair. And that's, you know, either way, you stopped playing. And I think a lot of other people stopped playing as well. And also, instead of fixing the issues in Halo Infinite, what did 343 do? They released a Halo-themed cookbook. Where, I don't know if you actually looked into it, but it's just regular meals, but with Halo names.
Wow.
The Moa Burger is just a cheeseburger. Whoa! Gotta pay $35 to learn how to make a cheeseburger, but slap on the word MOA. Incredible.
This is an insult to all cooking fans.
Oh, you want to talk about insults? Let's talk about the 2022 Halo TV show.
No.
Good. Let's not. Good call. I think we said enough.
I think we said enough on that topic.
But yeah, 2022 was the worst, and that was because of the rocky development. Microsoft really wanted this game to be good, however, it didn't hire developers long enough to make meaningful change. Rather than having, like, full-time employees, they would hire contractors, and their contracts would only last about 6 months. Now, if you're a game developer, 6 months, it's nothing.
Yep.
Nothing. No time at all. By the time your 6 months start and end, you will have made a minimal progress, and the guy that comes after you will see what you've done, not know the intricacies of it, and be lost and be delayed until, you know, say like a month optimally. And then they have another 5 months, and then, you know, the next person comes in. That was not good.
I don't want to focus on it too much, but this is a general, like, industry problem right now.
Oh.
In terms of, like, developer treatment across the board, this is just one of many examples of the different types of, like, game development companies clearly not valuing the labor that they bring in.
Ironically enough, this 2022 was around the time hashtag Fire343 was trending, and they said, give it back, give Halo, the IP, back to Bungie. And the ironic part is, Bungie is going through this exact thing right now, as of recording. They laid off so many people because of the failed expectations that the execs made, and the developers are suffering because of it. So I think you're dead right, Patrick, in that the development sphere, if you're a video game maker, is not good. And games like Halo Infinite and Destiny 2 suffered because of it.
Yeah, I mean, you really don't have to look far to find examples.
Mm-hmm.
You do not. Not far at all. You can look at your favorite game, and most likely it's got some sort of controversy behind
you
it.
You do not. However, 2023, the year of this recording, I think one of the best years for Halo. Because Season 3 and 4 came out. Those added co-op, finally, after Infection. And Infection, the multiplayer game. And the co-op worked really well. Not originally at first, you know, there's obviously kinks and stuff. They had to have a beta.
Right.
But Jared and I played it.
Yes, we
through
did.
Through co-op. And I thought it worked mostly well.
Yeah.
Mostly well.
There was like one incident where like there was a little glitchy thing that happened. But, you know,
and
that
it wasn't like it terrible.
No.
It wasn't terrible. It just set us back just like 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, and you know, it's not like older Halo games don't have those same problems
too.
Oh,
for sure.
You know, simple glitches, soft locks, whatever.
Yeah. Seasons 3 and 4 saw a huge player boost. Even streamers started playing it again, like Moist Critical. I don't know if the Doctor played it again, but still. And custom games were added.
Mm-hmm.
In Forge maps, people would make amazing Forge maps that were similar to like, it was less like traditional Halo Forge and more like Gmod Map Maker. Like, you could have tools that are similar to modding, which is a good thing and a bad thing because it has a higher barrier of entry to, like, an average dumb guy like myself can't really hop in Forge. There's a lot of things you could program. But with the other side of that coin, you can make amazing maps with functional, like, features, moving parts, doors that work and stuff.
Right.
And those maps.
I sent Joe a clip that I found of a Forge map for that's like COD Zombies but in Halo.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They made the community popped off around this time. And now, as of late 2023, they're adding AI, like the grunts and elites you would fight in the campaign. They're in Forge now.
Hmm.
You can play Firefight custom games as of the launch of Season 5. By the time this comes out, Firefight will be its own mode that you can just hop in matchmaking and come in with random players. For that reason, I can't say as to how well that will play, but I anticipate it playing like classic Firefight, a la Reach and ODST. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just in a map with your buddies, and some phantoms come in, and you gotta fight off the baddies. Which, I think Halo needs a PvE mode at launch.
Yeah.
Halo.
Oh, definitely.
Not just campaign, but needs like a multiplayer PvE experience. Co-op would fit that, but there wasn't co-op at launch. There was also not co-op or Firefight at launch for Halo 5 Guardians. But once they were added, Halo 5 Guardians, you know, gained popularity once again. In that, the fans said, 343, we forgive you. And we're still riding this high of, we forgive 343. Because ultimately, it wasn't their fault. They tried their best to make everyone happy. And I would say, as a Halo professional, I got my Funko Pop right here. I would say they did very well. If I had to give them a grade, B+ or A-.
So the multiplayer first came out in 2020?
2021, around the 20-year anniversary of Halo, period.
Okay.
November 15th, 2001 is when Halo CE launched. And they decided for 20 years, let's just drop it early. Let's drop the beta early.
Okay. And we first saw like a trailer or the announcement was 2020?
The announcement
for Infinite.
The announcement was 2018.
2018. Okay.
E3 2018.
Okay.
When E3s were good.
Would you say like
God,
by now it's like a full game?
Yes.
Right?
For sure. Did it take too long to become a full game? Absolutely it did.
Okay.
But so if it's full now, it's very good.
I have a question for you then.
I have an answer.
Would you rather do what happened in this timeline with the separated releases of Halo Infinite like they did? Would you wait this amount of time to now finally have the full game? Or would you rather them wait since 2018, since the announcement of this game being a thing, would you rather wait until everything is done 100% for them to be released? It won't be released in 2021. You know, anything
released in late 2023, right?
Probably.
Okay.
Which one would you rather do?
Because that is an amazing question. I love that question so much.
I think I would rather wait.
I think personally for me as well.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think I would rather have the way this played out, where it was like in segments.
Okay.
Because once a new segment, a new season released, I have a reason to pick it up again,
mm-hmm.
which I think shows in the numbers of players. I don't agree with how it came out, you know, with the desync and all the problems, mm-hmm. but because of personal reasons and how I play video games, I really liked how this worked for me.
Okay.
It may not work for all the gamers in the world. Hashtag gamers unite. But it worked for me, and I overall feel very good about playing this game.
Okay.
It's kind of a hot take, to be honest.
Is it really?
Well, most Halo fans, classic Halo fans, which make up the largest percentage of Halo fans, would want a full game on release.
Yeah.
Which arguably we haven't had since Halo 4.
Mm-hmm.
But I rode through the rough years of Halo's 4, 5, and early Infinite. I stood strong. I was a strong soldier. And I think, as much as the hardships I've had to endure, I think it was worth it in the end.
Okay.
I had a great time, even in this early seasons. I still played in 2022 while recognizing, wow, this game did not live up to expectations.
Right.
This game, as it is in 2022, seasons 2 and 3, did not live up to the hype. However, I wrote it out, and now I'm in a place where I'm happy, and the numbers show that a lot of other people are happy, because they're picking it up again, especially after Infection dropped.
Patrick, do you have a answer for that?
Yeah, I think if you asked me early this year,
yeah,
I probably would have given you the answer that I would have preferred to wait. But I think my perspective on this has changed with Counter-Strike 2, because if I were to compare the level of hype that Joe might have for Halo, that would be me when Counter-Strike 2 is announced versus by the time we actually get to play it versus by the time it's full released. Counter-Strike 2 gets announced, there's a bunch of cool new features, but it's also very clear that it's not, that there's some ideas that might not work well. And then streamers get access to the game. They start playing it. Very clear that those ideas that might not work well don't work well.
Right.
A lot more players get access. It's more of like a general access. I got to play then. And as soon as I hopped in, like, I was super excited to play. I had a lot of fun playing it. But the issues, man, they do hurt the experience.
Yeah.
Like, still had fun. I'm not going to complain about it. But would I have preferred to wait until Counter-Strike 2's full release, which even then isn't even a full release? That's probably going to be much later. No, I would want to play it as soon as possible. Like, it can be a buggy mess, and like, I would prefer if you didn't deliver it to me a mess. But if it's a playable thing that's still fun, for at least for a little bit, to get a few hours after work in, 100% I'll play it early.
So that's
a personal opinion.
Okay, yeah, that's fair, that's fine. I've always been of that mentality of, like, Shigeru Miyamoto has always said the rush game will forever be bad, but a delayed game has the potential to be great. I'm not saying Halo Infinite was ever bad to begin with. I never played it until this past week after, like, it is basically done. That was my first experience. I believe I watched you play when the multiplayer came out, Joe. I remember sitting in your room playing it and stuff, and I was, you know, watching you.
Okay, I don't remember letting you watch me, but go ahead.
I don't have that much knowledge of, like, going through the years of having a half-baked game, so I don't have much to say about that. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, let me ask you this. I know you said you played some multiplayer earlier.
Yeah, I've been playing multiplayer, yeah.
Do you think the barrier to entry was, like, a turnoff for you? Did you think, like, oh, I'm so far behind everyone else, I might as well not get into it?
No, because I think I've noticed the Halo matchmaking system sets you with other people your same rank.
Right.
So I don't think I was playing catch up at all. I think it helps that I've played all the other Halo games, so already I'm like, oh yeah, I know the basics. I know how to shoot and, you know, how a lot of these mechanics work. So no, I never thought I was playing catch up. So,
which is great.
Yeah.
Which is what you want if you're a FPS developer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I honestly feel like that's more of a problem that happens earlier into the game, because the matchmaking systems can't kick in because there's mostly new players. No matter how much experience they have, the system still sees them as a new player.
Yeah.
Because that's a problem Counter-Strike's having right now, is you go into a silver lobby meant for people who have no idea how to play the game, and you got a dude wrecking 30 kills because he's playing it for the first time.
Yeah, exactly. So is that everything on your timeline, Joe?
This is, for the most part, yeah. I probably glanced over some things, like how they rehired Joe Statham, who wrote Halo's 1 through Reach,
okay,
which was great. I think the hiring of him kicked in the 2023, like, this is, we're making a comeback.
Right.
He walked in on the dumpster fire that. I'm not sure. Let me look up this guy's name. Chris Lee. Now, Chris Lee was the head of 343 for throughout like 90% of Infinite's development.
Mm.
He was, he's a divisive figure in the Halo community because I don't know how much we want to get into it, but the way he led it, he led the company, led to a lot of the issues with the development things.
Mm.
There were some rumors at the time, I cannot confirm if they were true, that he wasn't entirely honest with the state of the game's development in meetings,
mm-hmm.
which is something you can't do. But I don't know if that's true. That's just the rumors that were going on. Either way, he got the boot and they rehired Joe Statham, which was an amazing W for Halo fans. He was a Halo day oneer.
Yeah, so he's most likely the person responsible for having the classic Halo 1 feel being implemented in Halo Infinite. So that's
Chris,
what I assume.
Sure. I think he definitely had a great part in it, but I think Chris Lee was... I think they wanted to return to form.
That's what I mean.
Well before they rehired Joe Statham.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Because it is a spiritual reboot.
See, I don't like that because it's not rebooting anything. It's a sequel. Oh, You kept saying
spiritual,
that.
Spiritual. It's not...
Spiritual doesn't mean any...
Yes, it does. Okay.
A spiritual reboot or a spiritual successor is Yooka-Laylee to Banjo-Kazooie, okay? This Halo Infinite is a direct sequel to everything else,
not,
and we get callbacks.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's more of a reimagining.
Reimagining? Are we talking about the story or just how the game is
We're
played?
We're talking about gameplay. And to some extent, the story, because they did wisely drop the evil Cortana plotline, which I thought was amazing.
Gameplay, I can see, in gameplay-wise, they took so much, they brought back so much of the mechanics from previous games, yes.
It's not just gameplay, but it's also tone.
Okay, yeah.
It's the story is on a much less grand scale, Halo 5 Guardians, because there was so much going on, whereas in Halo Infinite,
it's hard to keep track.
There's a butt ton of lore there. There's lore in literally everything, but they're not throwing it in your face.
Yeah.
You have to go out of your way to find the collectibles and read the descriptions of stuff to find this lore,
and
the story is very similar. Stop Batty, stop Escherim, slash the Harbinger, stop them.
The game goes at your pace, excuse me.
Yeah, and which was amazing, which was a great choice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the story mode.
Okay.
What do you think about the story mode? You just beat it.
I have this thing with Halo, all of them, when it comes to understanding the story to a certain extent. We played through all of them.
Yeah.
We played through every single Halo game together. And I played through every single Halo game at the time with my cousin, like years ago, mm-hmm. when it was just like the Master Chief Collection before 5. So I played through these games quite a bit, a lot. And I can understand the overall point of each game. Stop the Halo from activating. Stop this, do this, whatever. For each game. Okay, that's fine. But it's the nuances, the specifics of like lore and like, you know, details. It's mm-hmm. the details that always lose me, exposition, all that type of stuff. Whenever I'm going through like through each level, I think that has, okay, here we go. That also has something to do with it. For the older games, it's cutscene, level select, you're in the level, you play through like a good hour of a level, and with hardly any exposition, hardly any cutscenes. Then after you're done, cutscene, exposition, repeat, right? That's for most of the early games, and that always took me out of, like, remembering what people were talking about. I just know that I gotta go there and kill everything, you know what I mean? So, anyways, long rant. For Halo Infinite, I like that it's very compact and, air quotes, simple. I had no problems with the story, but I still feel like with a lot of the nuances and details, I didn't really catch completely. What exactly? I can't tell you because I didn't catch it. Do I have a lot of questions about like Cortana and her whole thing? Yes, but that also really, Infinite is taking place after like the whole fallout of Halo 5 and all the mess that Cortana has made. We're dealing with Chief and all of his like grief and you know, he's feeling bad for what happened to Cortana and everything that happened within Halo 5, right? We're dealing with the aftermath of Halo 5 and Infinite in a certain way. Chief is for sure. And then we got this new character, Weapon. Spoilers?
Go ahead, spoiler.
Okay. Weapon, Cortana, no shit, right? Like, come on.
Cortana 2.0.
Yeah.
A clone of Cortana.
Oh, I didn't see that coming. I even said that to you when that got, air quotes, revealed in the game. I was like, oh, wow, I couldn't figure that out. But, like, I enjoyed playing through the campaign. Mm-hmm. Understanding what's happening for, like, every single little bit. It's just hard for me when I play a Halo game.
Yeah, and enjoying it is number one.
Yeah, I had fun going through the levels for sure.
Do you think the emotional beats worked? They hit.
Oh my god, I believe the characters believe in their emotions. They're taking these things seriously. It doesn't hit me, like I don't feel what Chief feels. I don't feel what Fernando feels.
Fernando Esparza, Echo 216.
I don't feel what Weapon feels, but I love seeing them interact with each other, especially when Weapon is trying to just gain Master Chief's trust, and then we have the fallout, like, in the climax of the story, you know, and then we slowly get that build up again. Like, I like that. I like seeing that. I love this, air quotes, version of Cortana. She's more... She's more fun. She's cute, you know? Like, her little smile she does, like, all the time, you know? She's witty, you know? She's a smart aleck, you know? I like this version of Cortana better than the original version of Cortana, I think. So I believe that all the characters work well together, but it doesn't hit home to me. And here's a big thing that I want to talk about as a discussion point.
Okay.
So the moment where Weapon got revealed as Cortana, copy. Chief already knew that. Because,
yeah, you knew that from the very beginning. You knew that before the game started.
Exactly. He would, right? Mm-hmm. Of course. Now, before I continue, I'm going to ask you guys a question. When you play Halo, do you feel like the Master Chief?
I hate questions like this.
I know. I have a point to all this.
No.
I think not all the time I do.
Okay.
But the most memorable parts of the Halo campaigns, I do. Yes, I do.
Would you mind, elaborating?
In Halo 2, when you fight the Scarab, for sure. Halo 3, fight the Scarab as well. When you, in the level Cortana in Halo 3, when you're just like a one-man army against this Flood Hive, I thought that was awesome. Halo 4, so you got your Mantis runs, when you're in the Mantis for the first time. I think when you have... like, highs and lows in the story. The highs are obviously, you know, the better part, where you feel more immersed.
Okay.
And I think what this game does, it also made you feel like Master Chief during the lows, because he is a very guilt-ridden protagonist, which, I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast, I love. Mm-hmm. I love it when the protagonists are guilty. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that shit so much. I don't know why, but it's just the way I feel.
Patrick, why don't you feel like the Master Chief while playing Halo? I just want
to
know.
Usually when I'm playing the games, I'm not really focusing on the story, to be honest. But then again, like, I haven't played Infinite Story, the other Halo games that I play. I was playing with friends and barely even remember which game was which.
Okay, that's right. Fair.
So
that's a different circumstance then. Okay, so with a character, with a main protagonist that you're controlling, Master Chief isn't very vocal. Right. So that is a leg up for the player to associate himself as the Master Chief, because, you know, you're one man against an army. Right. And you're winning. Whenever you show up, you win, because that's how freaking badass you are. That's what Master Chief is. He's badass. Right. He's supposed to be. Now, I've noticed when Weapon got to be revealed as a Cortana copy, him knowing more than you do, the player, like, supposedly, you know, as a player, as narratively, nobody has told you, nothing has told you that Weapon is a Cortana copy. Of course you know, because you know the series, right? You know how this works, of course. But it's not set up until this point. Okay, I think it's weird that the character you're playing, that you're supposed to, that's supposed to be the link between you and the game, knows more than the player. So when we got to that part, I was like, that took me out of it. And I'm like, whoa, I had this whole like realization of like, it doesn't matter. It's very hard for a game to make you feel like Master Chief when, taking account multiplayer, every single Spartan can do exactly what the Master Chief can do. And I know there's like a gameplay mechanic balancing reason for that. Of course, everybody needs to be able to do the same thing. But lore-wise, in-game-wise, all these other Spartans can do what the Master Chief can do. But what makes him special is that he's not with other Spartans, minus Halo 5. He's with other soldiers. He's with other Marines. So yeah, he's like this behemoth of a dude, right? Next to like other 6 foot guys, but he's still like towering over them.
His cannon height is 7'4".
Yeah, bro, like, come on. With other Marines, that can help you within the game. Like, I know with the developers thinking of how can we make this guy feel special, that's one way to do it. But in the overall picture, it's really hard for me to say, like, I feel like Master Chief, I feel connected to this game, because I don't. At this moment made me realize that I don't, and it's weird.
Okay, you know, I can see what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I think they did, writing-wise, the best that they could.
Right.
Halo has always been mysterious. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going on fully, ever. Even back in Halo 1, you just know you're fighting the Covenant, you know?
Yeah.
Why? We're not sure, unless you read the books, which most players did not do.
Yeah.
You're just fighting them, and then you go on to this level called 343 Guilty Spark. Oh, I'm just gonna fight the Covenant again. No, no, no. You have this incredibly, like, mood-setting level mm-hmm. that reveals the great cosmic horror of the Flood.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the Flood are? Nuh-uh. You're focused on surviving. I think that type of moments were lost when we got game after game after game and book after book after book of just knowing the universe, which
yep.
I love. I love knowing about this universe, but because it is so big, you may feel like you have to know everything. Like you certainly did with Halo 5.
Yeah.
Who the hell is Blue Team? If you're a new player, you don't know. But if you're an old person...
Why is Nathan Fillion here?
Yeah. Well, if you're like into the lore, you're like, oh my God, Blue Team is finally here. We finally get to see them interact.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you're here. You just play the game. It's like, what the hell are you talking about, Joe? Like, you need to put you in an asylum?
It's a new team. Okay.
Yeah. It's not a new team. They've been around since 2001.
Yeah.
But... as a consumer of just the games, you don't know that.
Yeah.
I think that having the Chief, and by extension, Esparza, knowing more than you, the player, does in that situation, adds to the mystery, right?
Yeah.
Throughout this game, you're trying to figure out what happened. A, what happened to Cortana / Atriox?
Mm-hmm.
Why is Atriox gone? How did the ring get destroyed?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we? Where is the Infinity?
Mm-hmm.
All of these get answered throughout the story and finding on the audio logs to some extent.
Yeah. Now, I just want to preface, I'm not knocking the game for this. This is just something that made me realize, whoa, I don't know what the Master Chief knows. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Of course, Master Chief, at this point in his, like, overall story, he's gonna know more than us. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's the first time within a video game where, like, oh my God, the character that I'm playing, he knows more than what I know, even though I'm supposed to be him.
Did you have that realization and go like, oh man, I want to find out more?
Yes. I always want to know more about the Halo series, even if it's just like recapping, right? Like, again, like I said earlier, I don't fully grasp the concept of the entirety of like the general Halo story. You know, mm-hmm. there are a lot of big chunks where I'm like, okay, this happened, but why? You know?
Right.
There's a lot of whys to like, why is this? Why is that? And that's okay. That's okay for me to not know, because when I go back to these games, I'm like, oh, okay, great. I forget it like an hour later. That's fine. But I just want to make sure that I'm not confusing you and saying that I'm knocking this game for making me feel this way. I think it's interesting and it makes sense because we weren't there when Master Chief was there during like when all this started. You know,
right.
When this plan was made. You know what I mean?
The plan was made to kill Cortana.
Yeah.
By Dr. Halsey and Captain Lasky off screen. It happens a little bit in a book.
Mm-hmm.
Which... you don't have to read the book to enjoy the story,
mm-hmm.
which you kind with Halo 5 Guardians, you kind of had to know a little bit
right.
if you wanted to fully enjoy like what happened with Buck and Blue Team and Alpha 9 and all that. I think it was you have a legit feeling, you know, I get it. I don't think it's a complaint or like a criticism.
No, it's not.
Just,
not
it's
at
just
all.
It's just like a way you felt,
yeah.
Which is fair. You know, I get it, because I personally know everything about the Halo universe. Everything. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a complaint. It's not a positive or a negative. This is just something
just
that I felt that got revealed. You know, I had a revelation while playing this game with you that I'm like, whoa, this is the thing that's happening. And I was like, whoa, crazy.
Ultimately, if it made you want to find out more, then it achieved its purpose.
Sure, yeah.
Did I think some of the story had a little silly moments. I think there was some anime-esque delivery of lines.
Oh.
But I thought the story, they did the best that they can with the story.
I like that the story, I feel like the main purpose of the story, not the main purpose, I'm going to say the main purpose for lack of a better term, is trust.
Okay.
These three main characters mm-hmm. need to learn how to trust each other.
Right.
And themselves.
Right.
And whereas there's a lot more layers underneath that, mm-hmm. I think that's like the focus for the story for Infinite, I think.
I think the story beats are similar to Halo 4.
Okay.
Because it makes sense throughout the story. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's happened in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Because Master Chief was knocked out floating in space.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of piece those together. Well, also, he knows about the plan.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know the specifics of what happened. You learn that throughout the story that, spoilers, Cortana, original evil Cortana, saw that Atriox beat up the Chief after she destroyed Doyzac, the brute homeworld, just to prove a point to Atriox. And Atriox, he don't mess around. He done beat up her
boyfriend,
her 7-foot-tall human boyfriend, tossed him into space, believed he was dead, used his plan to destroy her against her, and was successful. There was nothing she could do in that moment other than blow herself up.
Yeah.
Because Atriox got his way. He won, for lack of a better terms,
mm-hmm.
until she decided, I'm going to blow myself up. Hopefully that'll kill Atriox. We learn in the legendary ending, it doesn't. He's still alive. He still got access to the Endless, whatever that is. And you don't know this going in.
Mm-hmm.
You just know that the Banished are here. You may not know what the Banished are if you haven't played Halo Wars 2, which is fine.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
It's not that big of a jump from the Covenant.
Oh, yeah, right? And I think, I've always thought it was like, oh, why are there Covenant with this Banished group, you know? But like, also, whatever, it's a Halo game.
It's in lore, it's like a splinter faction.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's there when you have a 1,000-year empire that just falls apart because one guy was like, I want to kill everyone that's not me. Obviously, you're going to have some splinter factions.
Yeah.
And I think the Banished are great mm-hmm. because they brought back brutes. And their aesthetic is cool. Is there that much depth to it? No. Ultimately, they're space pirates.
Yeah.
But they're cool. All is forgiven.
Are brutes the ones that are like...
They're the monkeys.
Yeah, they're the ape guys. And let's talk about the enemies. The enemies in this game are so great because they actually have personality, which was missing from the last few games.
Dude, the little grunts, man.
The grunts are the best example. They're like battle droids, B1 battle droids.
The grunts are classic grunts, and they have their same high-pitched voice.
Yeah.
And I think the brutes and the elites are, for me, the best example, because they talk shit to you the entire time. You are unworthy! And I thought that's awesome.
Yeah.
I miss when, like, you know, you would hear your enemies talk shit, and, you know, we got it back in Halo Infinite in spades.
Yeah. And with, like, those towers... Those propaganda towers.
Towers. The grunt towers.
Yeah.
This personality is back in Halo.
Yes.
Thanks to Infinite, which is great.
I love games that give the enemies personality, even if it's just like tiny little things. Like The Last of Us always stood out for me because it's like whenever you shoot an enemy, you can hear another enemy call out their name. It was like, oh no,
Jonas!
Like that kind of thing just immerses you so much more. And then like, you're not thinking about, like, oh, I'm shooting enemies. You're thinking, like, oh, I am shooting scavengers.
Yeah.
I am shooting grunts. I am shooting elites.
I love the bosses. I love the personality of the bosses, specifically, like, Bassus and Yega Rodomni, which was the cyborg elite. I think he's so cool. Because his boss fight is like a horror game.
Yeah.
He spawns in behind you. He's invisible. You have to use your sensor. And if he gets close, /, you're done. The tone definitely hits.
Mm-hmm.
I felt the story beats hit the way that they should. Like, when, after Master Chief tries to destroy the weapon, he goes back to being silent. He doesn't talk, even when the Echo 216 and her are talking to him. He just reverts back, and I thought that was amazing. We're going back to classic Chief, classic Stoic. He got himself emotionally attached, mm-hmm. and it let him down, and he's hurt, and we're experiencing that. And then later on, when they go to the place where Cortana just blew herself up, Weapon asks him, are you okay? And he goes, no, I'm not. And then he just keeps going. I thought, in those moments, I feel like the Master Chief.
Mm.
I feel like I'm pushing through.
Mm.
You know, I feel what he's feeling.
Because you were also attached to Cortana and their whole journey within the last five games.
In a lesser... Yeah, but mostly because I understand, like, where he's coming from.
Right.
And that wouldn't work if the game failed to, like, set up the tonal elements in a precise way.
Right.
There are moments in Halo 5, I don't know about you being a casual player, or even me, who knows everything about the lore, I see a cutscene and go, what the hell is going on? What is this? I think Halo Infinite stayed true to its marketing roots because it was like an open world game. And its open world, I'd say, is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not as big as I'd hope. It's mostly there's a lot of empty space.
That was one of the biggest critiques I saw digging through reviews of the single player, at least on Steam, is the amount of people that were just disappointed with the scale of this game.
Yeah,
both gameplay-wise and story-wise.
I can see that, for sure.
My biggest complaint about the setting is this Zeta Ring, right? That's what it's called?
Zeta Halo. Installation 07.
Has only one topographical feature compared to the previous Halo rings where they have different, like, biomes
sections.
And stuff, you know?
Right, there's no snowy section. There's always a snowy section in Halo
This
games.
Is just forest and...
Mountain.
Mountain and Covenant or Forerunner. Tech, that's it.
Yeah.
Monoliths.
Yeah, for sure.
That's another one of the critiques I saw a lot as well.
I wish there was a more variety. For sure.
I don't hate it, but like, it's noticeable.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's a pretty decently big game, like the map itself, and especially with all the traversal options, like even going on foot, hookshocking your way, or just using the jetpack to get from point A to point B, I think that's really fun. I tend to find myself doing that more than using the vehicles even. When we were playing, of course, we would use the vehicles, but you know, we were playing co-op, but I'm saying as a solo player, I find, like, swinging through trees to get to, like, the next place and ambush an enemy camp. That's freaking awesome. But, of course, the vehicles help out a lot, too.
That is mostly why I was hesitant to call it worth the $70 price tag.
Yeah.
Because of the lack of variety in the open world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm overall satisfied with the open world because there's plenty to do, as much as I said it was empty. But it does all look the same.
For a quick little fact check, at least on PC, it is $60.
Oh.
There we go.
Interesting. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe GameStop charged me an extra 10.
I mean, you might have gotten like a season pass type of thing.
I don't know. I don't remember. That was 2 years ago.
Last night, after we finished the campaign, Joe, we were exploring, doing little side missions and stuff, and we managed to get all the fobs unlocked.
Forward operating bases, yeah.
Yeah. After that moment, I don't feel like there's enough pushing me to continue playing the campaign. Even for all the collectibles, like, I already fully upgraded the hookshot, and that's all I really wanted to use. I was looking through the upgrades for the jetpack, and it's kind of meh for me, personally, so I don't have that motivation to collect all the Spartan cores, the Mjolnir customization multiplayer stuff. I'm like, whatever about, because I don't really see it until I go to multiplayer, and that's not even a big deal to me. And doing those base raids or whatever, I feel like that's not enough for me, or maybe it's too much for me to do. I don't know. And even going through like the bounty hunter stuff, like killing all those
HVTs.
Yeah, that's a me thing. That's a me personal thing.
I thought it was cool. I definitely felt the drive to 100% it,
yeah.
Which I did. I 100% of this game. It wasn't too difficult to
go
do.
Off.
I think getting the skulls, I think you'd find that worth it.
Yeah, I haven't found a single skull yet.
You haven't good. There are some you'll have to replay missions for, and I'm not going to spoil it for you, but there are certain like parameters you have to follow, which I think you'll find very interesting.
Oh.
Especially the last level skull.
Right.
So, you know, if you choose to do that, if you, it's up to you, man.
Yeah.
If the drive wasn't instilled in you to 100% it, I think that's fair. I don't think most players of the campaign did 100% it.
Right.
Specifically because of the challenge in the skulls and the audio log hunting. Mm-hmm. But it inspired me, and you know, that's enough. Either way, you and I both felt satisfied with the story.
Yes. And I'm glad that there's an opening for more. You know?
I also really wanted to touch on how much the story worked for both of us.
Mm.
You being a newer person getting into Halo, and me being a classic Halo person, because there's a lot of deep cuts.
Yeah, I'm a very casual Halo enjoyer.
And both of us left satisfied.
Yes.
There are certain references to the
previous games
for sure, and also the books, specifically dealing with the Forerunner audio logs, and the story beats between the weapon and Cortana echo almost perfectly with a story from the deep lore, from, you know, with the points of mendicant bias and offensive bias.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's from the legendary ending, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It is. That's an interesting, like, perspective.
Not from, I'm sorry, but, like, that was also revealed in the legendary ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a story that
Halo 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did. Wow.
I know things.
You know things.
I know some things, man.
You know
Well, it's just the same story of AI goes evil.
Yeah.
They make a new AI to kill evil AI. Evil AI turns repentant towards the end.
Yeah.
And that's it.
We might see more of them in the future.
We did see Mendicant, like a flash in, like, the trailer of the circle that is Mendicant Bias, like his orange glow. But we didn't see that in the final product, which I am super disappointed there's no story DLC.
Really?
There's none. And there doesn't, if there was going to be one, we would have known by now.
What else would there be to do on Zeta Halo?
I think they could at least add more HVTs.
Okay.
Maybe some new missions, for sure. Maybe some new biomes, for sure. like I think another, like, two or three missions of you fighting ex-banished member.
Sure.
Or going after the Endless, fighting another Endless member.
But wouldn't that be just the next game?
It's going to be the next game.
Yeah.
But I kind of felt Infinite was incomplete. Story-wise, because of the lack of, like, terrain variety.
Interesting.
I was hoping for a story DLC, and many people were also. So okay. I was disappointed there wasn't. There's not, like, a Scarab fight, and I wanted a Scarab fight. Scarab fights are awesome. But, you know, I'm not one to complain about something that I love.
Right.
I'm all about criticizing in a healthy way. I never hate for the sake of hating. I hate to be productive.
Okay. Something, this is not, like, important at all, but Patrick, I at least want to tell you this. While Joe and I were playing co-op through the campaign, I brought up a point where that Master Chief is just an autistic soldier that's in love with a computer AI and is willing to do anything and everything for this fake AI girl that he's in love with, including mass genocide. That's my take on the Master Chief.
That's one of the things I understand most about this game, because I know so many people who love it, but I also didn't pay attention to the story, so I'll just, this is like the hot takes I get from my friends.
But, you know, isn't that noble? He would do anything for his friends.
I would do anything for my AI girlfriend, personally.
Yeah.
True. AI Siri.
Even mass genocide.
Well, hold on.
Multiple times.
They started it. The Covenant started it, okay? And the Flood, they're zombies. They're evil, all right? Don't get me started. Covenant.
Yeah, I'm to be fair, I'm for zombie genocide.
Yeah,
personally.
I'm not saying, like,
Joe for president 2560, the Covenant deserved it. That's not a hot take. They started it. All because the prophets were like, oops, we mistranslated it. Let's eradicate all humans. We thought we're the heirs of the Forerunner Empire. Oops, it's the humans. Let's go ahead and just kill all the humans. That was their line of logic. And guess what? The prophets ain't around no more. Boom. Joe for president 2560. Vote for me.
Vote I know who I'm voting for.
That's right.
Whoever the other guy is.
Whoa! You bastard.
I want to finish off with, for me personally, with a little story. I don't know if I want this kept in, but I'm just run with it anyway. We'll see where it goes. So a while back, I had a friend I made at, like, my little church group thing. And this guy is very, very sweet, a very kind person to everybody around him. Also, a little bit developmentally disabled of some kind. I never really asked. The dude would, when Halo Infinite came out, the dude would come up to me every time I saw him and start talking about how, what's the what's the main antagonist of the game?
Either it's, you're talking about the Harbinger or Escherum, the big brute.
I think Escherum. He would come up to me like every single day and be like, I'd be like, hey man, how you doing? And he'd be like, you know, it's so rough. I'm having to constantly deal with Escherum, man. He's taking out all my squads. And I'm like, oh really? And he would like go into it. Like when he was playing this game, he really felt like he was Master Chief. And it was so interesting to have these conversations because, like, I would ask him, like, how he felt about certain moments or how he felt about the last thing he did. And he had these, like, genuine, like, emotional feelings about the events in the story.
Hmm.
It was so interesting because, like, the mood he had that day was most likely based off of where he left off on the Halo Infinite campaign. I just found that really interesting because that's a side of like gaming that I absolutely love, when someone's able to connect to a game on that sort of level, especially for someone like him who didn't really find that much sort of moments like that with people to be able to find that in games like that. He, like, the dude loved Halo Infinite. He would just sit there talking to me for like 15-30 minutes about just like his moments in the game and how tough it was to deal with this and how he had this little silly grunt that did this and he felt so bad for the guy. Like, one of my favorite things about like looking back on Halo Infinite is just having conversations with him.
That's really
very
sweet.
Wholesome. Yeah. That's great.
That's amazing.
Final thoughts?
Overall, with Halo coming into 2024 now, I am optimistic about the future. I think that the rough part is behind us, and I think for this game and Halo as a whole, the best years are yet to come. Season 2 of the Halo show is going to come out around this time of this episode. Regardless, I am still optimistic, and I will love Halo until the day I die, hopefully. I was so inspired that I was going, the tattoo I talked about before that I was going to get, I'm still not sure if I'm going to, is because of Halo. I don't know if I've ever explained that, but the old emblem I would use in the Halo 3 and Reach days is a wasp. And I've loved that design so much, I wanted it on my body. Maybe I'll go through with it. Maybe I'll grow a pair one day and get it tattooed on me. Maybe. But this game is very near and dear to my heart. The series is very near and dear. And I'm glad I could share this experience with you guys and talk to you about this game, the interesting stories behind it, and as well as your personal experiences with it. Because this game brought people together in a time where games would not. Mm-hmm. Hence, Call of Duty Vanguard or Battlefield 2042. Those games were doo-doo. In fact, an EA developer whined that Battlefield was failing so much because Halo Infinite came out. And that is my favorite piece of fun fact ever, that Halo made a grown man cry because it was just so good. I don't know if Battlefront is that good anyways. I heard the latest one was, you know, not best in the world.
Nah, bro. If you want to play a Battlefield type game, just play BattleBit. $20. It's an indie game, so you're supporting small developers, and it's the same experience, just looks kind of like Roblox.
Whoa. Hell yeah. I'll do it.
Well, that's all the time we have for today, guys. Thank you so much for joining us on another episode here on Razzle Dazzle. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Razzle Dazzle Show and on TikTok at Razzle_Dazzle_Show. Be sure to tune in every Thursday on the Eagle Radio Live 365 app, where we are live from 12 to 1. And special thanks to Japhet Meza for letting us use their music for this episode. You can find these tracks and more on Spotify and YouTube by searching up Japhet Meza and or Petrichor Halo Lo-Fi Beats for Saving the World. Links will be in the description down below, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Another thing that may get cut, and this will be the end card, during 2022, when Halo Infinite was in its roughest state, there was the Bonobo incident. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Why does this sound familiar?
Oh, brother. It's worse than you think. For Juneteenth, Halo released a Black Lives Matter emblem you can put on your Spartan, your vehicles, and all that.
Okay.
However, it was called Bonobo. Bonobo is a type of ape.
Oh.
Which, big, big oopsie. I don't think it came from a place of genuine racism, but because back in the Slipspace Bungie days, they would just name things after monkeys. Things that were unnamed in the code were named, like, Bonobo or Macaque or something.
Oh no.
So I don't, you know, big L, big L for Halo.
Imagine you're coming into work one day and it's like, your boss sends you an email just like, office. You're like,
office now. But, you know, it was, you know, I don't think it was the biggest deal because I don't think it came from a place of genuine, like, racism. I think it was the worst possible mess up. The worst.
For the guy who did that mess up and the channels that allowed it to go through, all those people are like, were like, oh, no, no.
Yeah. The stars aligned in a one in a million event, like in a bad way. So, oops.